It's a quarter to 10 at Racing HQ. Simon Dinopoulos from racingandsports.com.au joins us. Morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm going to be honest, because when someone asks me, and you easily just turn around and go, yeah, I'm beauty, I'm feeling fantastic. Well, this morning I do feel run down after 3 days at the sales. I am struggling. I need to rest today so I can enjoy tomorrow.
Oh, it looks very good, Andrew. I've seen you've been very busy, but I'm a bit biased, but I think tomorrow is certainly the best day racing in Australia. So really looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll be able to bounce back.
No, look, it'll be fantastic. Scissor Kicks come out of the Arrowfield Sprinted Barrier Trial a short time ago. But look, we're looking forward to these features. Now, where do your tips start? Where are we going here?
We'll kick off first with the Oaks, Andrew. I really like the progression Winx has made this campaign. She caught the eye in both starts to kick off her preparation before a dominant winner in the Far Lap Stakes. Now, I have watched the Vinery replay a few times now. I still feel she was the run of the race. She was set quite a task and arguably should have finished a lot closer. She didn't have a lot of luck in the straight. Leading trainer Chris Waller has obviously set up this event since the spring, and she does appear set to peak on the weekend. Surprisingly, Winx is just Waller's fifth runner to contest the Oaks. He obviously won the event in dominant fashion with Royal Descent in 2013. World-class jockey Joe Marrera links the board for the first time. Overall, he strikes at 23% in Group 1 company. It's a remarkable achievement. Although Winx is somewhat on trial at the trip, she is bred to handle it. And overall, the Chris Waller stable strikes at 17% over this distance range. From the inside draw, just hoping she can settle a bit closer to the speed on Saturday. And if so, I do think she will prove very hard to hold out. Race 6, number 2, Winx.
Race 6, number 2 for Joe Marrera. Where's the next one?
Race 7, Andrew, the Queen of the Turf Stakes. There's been plenty of debate in the office about this race all week. I'm actually going against the boss. I'm siding with First Seal. Willing to stick with her. She has let punters down this time in, but I do feel she profiles very well for this affair. Historically, three-year-olds possess a great record on the event. They won 6 of the past 20 while providing just 20% of the participants. Favourites also hold a great record in the event. They won 11 of the past 20. Which is obviously well above the average. It is hard to find a more informed jockey than James McDonald. He's striking at 28% from his last 30 rides. And this season, he's striking at just shy of 20% in Group 1 company. First Seal does remain one of the highest-rated fillies to contest the Queen of the Turf Stakes, and she does appear far better suited dropping back in trip. From a ratings perspective, her best form has clearly been seen over this distance range. And if able to run up to the level of a Flight Stakes performance, I think she will prove very hard to beat. So sticking with her, Race 7, number 14, First Seal.
John Thompson there and James McDonald. And where's the last of the trio?
We go to the Sydney Cup, Andrew. I think this is arguably one of the better bets of the carnival. It wasn't very hard to find Hartnell. He's been racing in outstanding form since joining the O'Shea stable and beat home arguably the horse to beat in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes last start. The BMW has proven a great guide to this event in recent years, with 6 of the past 20 coming through the Wait for Age feature event. Of these 6, none of which actually won the BMW, and now Hartnell gets in on the minimum. So he's certainly beaten the handicapper, Andrew. Favourites also have a great record in the event. They've won 9 of the past 20.
Mm-hmm.
He's already a winner over the trip, so no concerns with a step up to 2 miles on Saturday. I think we're better than $2 still available about his chances. I think it appears more than generous. We have him marked closer to a $1.60 chance on the weekend. Tommy Berry obviously won this race in dominant fashion aboard the offer last year. I think he appears well on his way to collect back-to-back wins in the event. Race 8, number 6, Hartnell.
All right, so the 3 for Simon Dinopoulos, Race 6, number 2, Winx, Race 7, number 14, First Seal, and in the Schweppes Sydney Cup, it's Race 8, number 6, Hartnell. Good on you, Simon. We'll chat again next week.
Sounds good, Andrew. I'll see you tomorrow.
Simon Dinopoulos there from Racing and Sports. Let's go to Jonathan Darcy here at Inglis. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning, Andrew. Very nice to hear you in such fine voice.
Oh, I don't know about that. How'd you pull up?
Oh, look, we just had a couple of quiet drinks and sat round in a circle and sang Kumbaya. It was a nice night.
I left before that, thankfully, by the sounds of it. What are the figures telling us this morning?
It was an extraordinary week of selling, as I know many of the listeners who have heard us talking to our clients during the week. It's only the third time in the history of the Easter sale that we've cracked through the $100 million turnover. We ended up with about $112 million being spent here over the 3 days. You know, some records set. I mean, a really strong finish to the sale yesterday. That was very pleasing to see session two go so well yesterday, averaging 94,000. And I mean, some of the prices paid, you know, $500,000 and $400,000 by Shadwell and George Moore, respectively. So just goes to show that, you know, that they look at every single horse in the catalogue. And because they kept getting beaten earlier in the sale, they were still there fighting to the very death.
Yeah, for sure. And something of note that came through in all the stats that Inglis produced last night is the amount of yearlings that were purchased out of here in New South Wales. That, you know, the prize money increases in the last couple of years. We've got the championships. There seems to be a good vibe that the New South Wales owners were really strengthening their numbers off this sale.
Look, they were. I mean, people like Vinery and Sedgenho have gone in and bought colts and fillies. Kitchwin Hills, we spoke to Mick Malone during the week. It was great to see some of these leading studs and breeders investing in quality fillies and colts and hoping for a big result on the racetrack. I mean, as we've seen with the likes of Vancouver, you know, a horse that cost under $200,000 being turned into a $40 million stallion. And we're seeing the likes of, you know, Fenway, who was a $700,000 Easter filly 2 years ago. Of course, she runs in the Oaks tomorrow, but, you know, she's now probably a $2 to $3 million broodmare. So there's some huge appreciation can be achieved with these well-bred yearlings, and I think that's what people were banking their hopes on this week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it all turns into a magnificent figure to look at, all the exceptional figures. They were dominant. I was leaving last night, and the trucks were in, and the yearlings get basically shipped out to their new owners ASAP after they're sold.
They do, yes. There's a few yearlings left this morning. I can hear them calling out for their breakfast, and our staff are going around making sure they're being looked after. But yes, look, it's a process now that the trainers take over. Some horses, you know, might go for a rest before they're broken in, but I know probably, you know, 30 or 40% will go straight to the breakers, and they'll have the gear on. And I know, you know, Gay's one trainer who likes to have them down at Randwick as soon as possible and, you know, keep her eye on them. So, look, it's the start of a process that hopefully will result in Group 1 success on the racetrack. I mean, I think the only people who are a bit worried this morning are our account staff who have to go and collect $112 million.
Yeah, not a bad position to be in, but now they've got to go and find it. The $112 million that was the gross amount that was spent over the 3 days out at Newmarket. Jonathan, thanks for your time. Again, well done during the week, and we'll do it again shortly, mate.
Good on you, Andrew. All the best of luck to all the listeners for the weekend.
Jonathan.